Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Hello and welcome. Welcome back to the Feed Your Wild podcast. I'm your host and intuitive nourishment guide, Vanessa Rodriguez. And if you are new here, an extra welcome to you. I'm so happy you discovered this podcast and this collective and community, and you're in for a treat today. Today's special, not just because it is the equinox, so happy Aries spring vernal equinox. Of course, in the Northern Hemisphere, we're experiencing this as the spring equinox. But this is such a beautiful, beautiful time where we are equal parts light and dark, equal day and night. So there's a really potent and special force and portal that pours through today. And that is opening up today, that, of course, we're going to get into. And I also have an Akashic soul nourishment reading for you today in this podcast, which came to me channeled through pretty quickly. And so you may not know this behind the scenes, but when I do these Akashic record channelings, I don't really go in an edit at all. Like maybe if I pause because there was a pause in the information coming in or I get interrupted or something, you know, I might come back and reconfigure a little bit. But as I receive it, I give it. And for me, I feel that that's important because it's also staying in integrity with myself as a channel versus me being the one, like from my conscious waking mind, delivering this message or making it mean something according to my own filter. I really try to be as clear as I can be as a channel. If you're listening, you're a first time listener, you're like, what the heck is she even talking about? Well, I used to do monthly Akashic soul nourishment readings for the collective. And now I began doing them here and there, depending on if there was a message that wanted to come through. And I also do it around the equinoxes and the solstices. So about four times a year within the podcast. And what are Akashic soul nourishment readings? Quickie snapshot. They are essentially channelings, intuitive channelings that I do, yours truly, where I open up to the collective field. I open up utilizing the Akashic records, tapping into the Akashic records of those that are tuned into not just this podcast, but also the highest expression of our love in connection, that thread that connects us by the heart, you know, this little thread, this golden thread that connects through all of our hearts and weaves us all together. So whether you've listened to this one episode and you never listen again, you are woven into this web. And it doesn't matter when you listen to it, you know, you could find this 10 years in the future and it'll still be relevant for you because we, of course, tap into information that is non-local and non-linear. And so we are beyond time space. We are beyond the linear time space of our human existence here in the material realm. And then we move into, you know, if you want to go with scientific terms, quantum, right, realities. But really, this is something that has been in the sacred texts since writing was a thing. This field of knowledge and knowing, of records, of souls, and of basically vibration, anything that has a vibrational frequency. the information of your existence is being stored. And so we can tap into this field, which it has many names, and we also call it the Akashic Records. And we can tune into information, messages, insights, and histories, receive really supportive understandings, and not just mentally receiving through words, but it's through frequency, it's through vibration. We are receiving literally codes, vibrations that are coding our very being, informing our very being and consciousness. If the Akashic Records are new to you and you want to learn more, well, I have an entire episode on it. It's episode 56, Akashic Records 101, Accessing Powerful Soul Messages for Clarity, Healing, and Growth. And in that episode, I share my understanding of what they are and my relationship to them, how I came to working with the Akashic Records, and some really great resources for you. So go check that out, and I'll link that up in the show notes below as well. And so these are very powerful, and I used to do these every month, and then I slowed down for many reasons, and also I was directed, so to speak, by my own guides to slow down a bit, and now they are calling me back, and I'm really feeling called back to channel more for you. And so I'll share more about that later, because it's very exciting. I'm going to have an opportunity for you to connect with a greater community of the Feed Your Wild podcast and collective and get access to exclusive Akashic soul nourishment channelings, intuitive channelings that I will be doing more often every month. So stay tuned for that in a moment, but quite emotional actually. Today and the past week, as my beloved Abuela Pura, short for Purificación, is my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, passed away last Wednesday. She was my mother's mother and one of the last to survive of her 11 siblings, which is pretty amazing. She lived to be 93 years young. And I was blessed enough to be able to be with her in the moments just before she crossed over. She died peacefully, surrounded by family. I believe that part of it was she waited for me to go home with my toddler. I had my baby with me to take him home, and she passed while I was in the car driving us home. And I am recording this portion of the podcast also on the anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of the death of my other grandmother, my father's mother, Juanita Garcia Rodriguez. And this, as you can imagine, I'm feeling so much in connection to mother, in connection to the entire, you know, process of death. And then here we are in rebirth, spring equinox, really being a time, a portal of rebirth and awakening, and closing out Pisces season and moving into Aries season. And Pisces is the very last sign of the zodiac wheel and the year. It's a sign of letting go, of endings, of detachment, of stepping away from previous versions of yourself. And sometimes that means you're embodied physical presence and moving back into spirit realm. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that they both died within days of each other, within a year. They were also friends, which is really beautiful to have witnessed. And I feel so blessed to have moved back to Chicago. And I believe in my heart really deeply that part of the reason that I had moved back to Chicago with my family was to be here in my physical presence with my grandmothers as they both passed and crossed over. And just as this entire podcast, Feed Your Wild, was really birthed from my own mother's passing, Norma, when she passed in 2010 and really was the catalyst for what I do today and who I am today, So this podcast was really an honor and dedication to my mother, and I want to dedicate this, not just this episode, but this season and this year of 2024, which I feel is such a year of rebirth for so many people, so many big changes and transformations and deaths. In order to create space for the new, I am dedicating this time and this episode to my abuelas, Purificación and Juanita. Also for their own dedication to the Divine Mother. And I want to get into that in a moment. Puri, or Pura, as she was known for short, she was incredibly resilient and incredibly stubborn, probably one of the most stubborn people I know in like the most amazing way, in some ways that were, I could see, became a hindrance. Like she didn't accept help or support very easily. Despite that, I feel that her resilience and her stubbornness were part of what really allowed her to endure a long life and a life filled with many challenges. She had many challenges that she never really voiced to us, that I knew through storytelling, through my family, and that I can see in her eyes. She was super quick-witted, had a repertoire of jokes ready. She's a fiery Sagittarius, and her expansive spirit is now free to move in all the ways that she had wanted to, but she was unable to because of her physical constraints. I had dreams leading up to the day of her passing. Two nights prior, she visited me in my dreams, so I knew that her time was soon. I knew that she was going to pass. And then I had another sign that very same day, and I felt, okay, yeah, this is the third thing, and it's going to happen, and it happened later that evening. And so astrologically, what was interesting is that it happened on a very Venusian day. So this was a very beautiful day connected to Venus. The moon conjoined Jupiter in Taurus. So Jupiter's in Taurus while sextiling Venus. Venus was in Pisces. Venus is exalted in Pisces. You don't need to know all these if you're not into astrology. But the big takeaway here is like his big Venusian vibes. And she also happened to cross over during a Venus hour. We have planetary hours, and you can even look this up online. There's apps for it, and each hour is connected to a specific planet, and typically there's about 2 hours in the day that are connected to a single planet. And so not only did she die during a big Venus day, but also during a Venus hour. And this particular energy and connection with Venus is incredibly healing spiritually. And she was probably one of the most religious people that I knew personally, you know, who was very, very close to me in the sense that she was a devotee. She was a devotee to Santa Maria, to Mother Mary. And she had her altars. She had her flowers. And one of her favorite flowers was rose, very much connected to the Divine Mother and to Venus. And she, after having lived her life professionally, so working in various sectors, she retired and dedicated her life to the church. And there's something interesting, and I'm sure many of you who come from a Latino background, especially the Caribbean, is very mixed, right? So even when we look at Catholicism, there's still a lot that's woven in from indigenous roots, from African roots. And so I was exposed to that growing up. And my grandmother, Abuela Pura, was very much attuned to all of that, although it was something that she didn't necessarily pass on as a teaching verbally. But she was the go-to for herbal remedies when people were sick, and to cleanse houses, she would go and to cleanse homes and for blessings. And so she carried a lot of that with her. And something that she loved to do was braid my hair. I used to have really long hair, and it's like she couldn't help herself but to braid my hair. And so, you know, there's something quite loving and medicinal about your abuela braiding your hair as she's weaving a part of her legacy and magic within your own roots. And hair was very important. She would often whistle and sing while she braided my hair, wove, and did many other things. She was always whistling. And it has seared my heart in the best way possible. She continues to teach me the healing power of a good laugh, prayer, and pure love. And while she lost her memories and we lost her in this realm, nothing can take away the medicine that she imparted and her presence in our hearts. And today, as the one-year anniversary of the crossing of my abuela Juanita, she was also in her 90s, so I was so blessed to have both of them. She was a true Leo in this sense, fiery and loved the limelight. And she too had a lot of challenges that she experienced. Both of them had migrated to Chicago from Puerto Rico in the 50s. And both came from big families. Juanita grew up on a farm with her 10 brothers and sisters. So both of them came from farming families. And Juanita became a teacher at 19 years old and survived a life-threatening illness, and then got her master's in education in Chicago at a time when that was unheard of for an immigrant Latina woman. And when my grandfather hurt his back, she became the breadwinner, the main provider, as a bilingual teacher. There's so much that she taught me about empowerment and the capacity that we have to show up in spaces where maybe we don't see as many other faces that look like our own. She was a master in the kitchen. She loved cooking. They both did. And Juanita also loved plants and had an amazing green thumb. And her favorite flowers were jasmine and also rose. And she really taught me the power of food as medicine, of perseverance, and radical self-love, and never apologizing for who you are. So, abuelas, this is for you, and I'm sending so much love, holding you in my heart now and always. One thing I have to mention before we dive into the astrology is that I recently went to a memorial for my grandmother Juanita that was held this past Sunday, and it was at a church that she would go to every week, and my grandfather had gone to. And the gospel selected for that day was John 11, and it was the rising of Lazarus from the dead, where Jesus goes to visit Mary and Martha of Bethany and their brother Lazarus, who had died, and he subsequently raises him from the dead. And what's so interesting is that I've been connecting so much with Mary Magdalene and the true teachings, well, at least the ones that have been revealed thus far, of Mary Magdalene. And so here in this connection with the Divine Mother, and then I go to this memorial, and then the gospel that they are sharing has Mary Magdalene in it. And I find it very interesting that, well, first, I felt that it was such a confirmation. Both of these super strong women that were also incredibly connected to the divine and to the Divine Mother, that we would also receive a gospel that included Mary Magdalene, who I would argue was Yeshua, Jesus's most important disciple and apostle. And as I sat there looking at the statues that they had of the 12 apostles. Of course, those are the conventionally known or traditionally known 12 apostles that are all men. And that Mary Magdalene is missing because of the hundreds of years old bastardization of her character and lineage, where the church basically painted her as a whore and then later redacted that after 100 years later and saying, oh no, you know, she wasn't, our bad. She's actually here. We'll make her a saint. And so there's something that just was really potent about the fact that that was the particular gospel that was shared on that day, where I was holding in my heart the love and the memory of both of my grandmothers and these powerhouse women. And also in my own process of reclaiming Divine Mother and my connection to Divine Mother and to Mary Magdalene, to be honest, I feel like there's a lot that I'm still learning with that. I am, I guess you could say, a recovering Catholic. I was raised Catholic. Both sides of my family were predominantly Catholic. And I was raised in the Catholic Church and, you know, had to do the whole Sunday school thing. And then later sort of rejected that after major woundings with the church and experiences that were pretty traumatic, that, you know, I just said, this, I don't believe in this dogmatic, distorted view of the teachings of Jesus, and something feels totally off about it. And so I rejected it for many years, and my spiritual journey and my awakening has, man, it has been such a ride. And I know that there's been a lot of wounding for so many people with religion in general and with church. And I have kind of come back full circle. And while I'm not a Catholic, or I don't identify as one, I absolutely connect with the divine teachings, and I would say in their highest expression and form, of Yeshua and of Mary Magdalene. If you are interested in tuning more into what I'm talking about with Mary Magdalene, if you're like, whoa, this is totally new to me, although I feel like there's been a big resurgence over the past like 20 years, lots of really beautiful books about this. But if you want to dive deeper, there are so many amazing authors and teachers that are restoring the name of Mary Magdalene. And so there is Cynthia Bergeau, who wrote The Meaning of Mary Magdalene, Discovering the Woman at the Heart of Christianity. There is The Gospel of the Beloved Companion, The Complete Gospel of Mary Magdalene. And that's a translation and commentary by Jehan de Kian. And I'm not sure that I pronounced her name correctly. But that one is an incredible one to tune into for the gospel that was discovered later and uncovered. Some others, just to name a couple, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, Jesus and the First Woman Apostle, that's by Karen King. That one is really amazing. And then the Nag Hammadi Scriptures. So the Nag Hammadi Codex is essentially a collection of these early Christian and Gnostic texts that were discovered near the Upper Egyptian town of Nag Hammadi. There's many other, I won't go into it more deeply, but highly recommend you check all of them out. I wanted to read a portion of the text that Jehan includes at the beginning of her book that I felt called to read in dedication to you and to this episode, this season, to my abuelas and to the Divine Mother. I was sent forth from the power, and I have come to those who reflect upon me, and I am found among those who seek after me. Look upon me, you who reflect upon me, and you who would hear, hear me. You who are waiting for me, take me into yourselves, and do not banish me from your sight, and do not make hatred enter your voice against me, nor let anger enter your hearing. Do not be unknowing of me in any place or any time. Be on your guard. Do not be ignorant of me, for I am the first and the last. I am the honored one and the scorned one. I am the whore and the holy one. I am the wife and the virgin. And this from the Nag Hammadi Codex. And so with that, let us dive into today's episode with the astrology and then our Akashic Soul Nourishment reading. Obviously, it is no surprise to me that all of this is occurring in, it had occurred in Pisces season with Venus, Neptune, and Saturn, all in Pisces. And traditionally, Saturn is seen as the Lord of Death, the celestial grim reaper, so to speak. So Saturn brings conclusion, ending, stillness. Saturn ends the game. And it is said in traditional astrology that God or Nous tasked Saturn with sending those that had descended from the stars, the spirits that went, that incarnated on Earth, to bring them back home and essentially allot each of them their death point, their time of death, the point at which their time on Earth would expire and they would come back into the oneness. And so in that way, Saturn is connected to dark nights of the soul and to death and the spirits return to the stars. In Pisces, on a personal level, Pisces rules my fourth house of home, family, foundation, and roots. So as I had mentioned, I feel that there's so much around endings and death and rebirth as it relates to roots and family and my ancestry through my fourth house and in this season, this past Pisces season. I'm so grateful for being here back in basically the space and the place where I was born and to be here for my abuela's death and passing. Pisces, I mentioned, is an ending, and it's really a beautiful practice to look at as we enter Aries season today. What am I completing? What am I done with? What am I ready to cut the cords and say goodbye, adios, transmuting? What am I transmuting so that I can begin again, so that I can rebirth something anew? So what are you leaving behind? What are you releasing? And can you be courageous enough to let go of what that is, of what is no longer serving you? And I think it's beautiful to look at where Pisces and Aries fall in your chart too. That'll be an indication of maybe some of the areas to look at thematically with so much planetary energy in these signs. And then, of course, we have the eclipse season coming up. We have the Libra eclipse. And I talk a little bit about eclipse season last episode. And of course, we're going to have an episode for the eclipse next week. So stay tuned more for that. Eclipses are always really transformative periods. And they bring the change. You don't really have to do anything except try to ride the wave as gracefully as you possibly can receive it. But they do tend to bring big changes, big shifts, and sometimes what can feel like upheaval that allows us to level up. And for the sake of us attaining a new level and evolution of our consciousness on a collective level, of course, but also on a personal individual level. So while they can be challenging, it is helpful, although it might sound trite, it is very helpful to think of it as, how is this working for me? How is this assisting me in shifting my life to course correct, to bring more alignment? And sometimes that can hurt. So the first eclipse season of 2024 features a lunar eclipse in Libra, and this is March 25th. So stay tuned for that episode. And then we have another one, a solar eclipse in Aries on April 8th. So these are the bringer of major beginnings and endings. So here we're continuing with this theme of this death and rebirth and renewal, especially with this season with the Aries equinox and their portals of destiny. So let's get excited about it. But, you know, also stay very grounded because eclipses are very supernatural. They're these pause moments. And they can be very eerie, you know, if you have stepped outside during an eclipse in the beginning, especially like a total solar eclipse, it's very strange and all of nature, all of the animals and the birds and everything gets quiet and still. And there's this acknowledgement that something is happening. And the solar forces and all that come with that have been shadowed. There's a pause. And traditionally, it's suggested to not be outside if you can during an eclipse like that. And it's also recommended to not do any kind of ritual or ceremony or magic work during eclipses. And I think I mentioned this last time. I don't know about you, but the last Libra eclipse last October kicked my ass in a really, really big way. Like, it hurt. And I'm still dealing with the ramifications of that, like, in the best and highest way. You know, now looking back on the other side of it, I can absolutely see, like, okay, that happened for me 100%. And like, I'm working with this energy and with this shift. But I'm not going to lie, I ugly cried many times during like those initial months, especially like starting at the eclipse and since then. And eclipse cycles last for 6 months, at least 6 months. So understanding that these are unfurlings, right? While something may boom, come in and happen, they are continuous unfurlings of whatever shift is occurring, and especially on an energetic level. So today, March 19th, we have the Aries equinox. So the sun is at 0 degrees of Aries, and there are a lot of planets concentrated in the signs of Aries, but especially Pisces, Aquarius, and Taurus. They're all kind of hanging out in one area of the chart. So check out these, wherever the four houses are that are connected to these signs in your chart. These are going to be super activated over the next year. So take a look at what those are for you. And there is a tight, so I'm going to go through some of the aspects here, because I think they can help inform some of the other energetics that you might be feeling. If you're like, man, but I'm not really feeling this rebirth moment, or because like Aries is like, yeah, I am. Those are the words connected to Aries. It's that initiatory fire of life and creation. And if you're not feeling that, that's okay, because there's a lot happening, right? So tune into all of this and where this lands for your chart and how this is landing for you. But we have a super tight opposition between Pluto and the moon. This can feel really intense. This can feel like extreme emotions and feelings. So if you are feeling extra, extra emo, this might be why. We have a sun conjunct Neptune, and this started March 17th. So the sun conjunct Neptune at 27 degrees of Pisces, which is also, by the way, squaring the galactic center, and the galactic center is at 27 degrees of Sagittarius. This really feels like super spiritually connected, spiritual rejuvenation, greater psychic sensitivity. I talked a little bit about multidimensionality in the last episode, and you'll probably continue to experience this even more so with the sun conjunct Neptune in Pisces. Now, this is an out-of-sign conjunction because the sun is now in Aries, but we are still feeling this, right? You might experience or have been experiencing more dreams, more potent dreams. And with it squaring the galactic center, yeah, this really feels like it has the potential to dissolve the ego, dissolve opinions that you maybe were attached to, like identities, judgments, and thankfully, limiting belief systems that are rising up to be cleared. Thank goddess, especially anything that has been inherited through the collective consciousness. I feel like this will also help to mitigate the lower expressions of Sagittarius, which can be kind of like rigidity. This has the feel of, I held onto this belief, or I really believe this, or I thought this to be true for so long, but now I realize like I didn't actually know. So almost like when you learn more, you go deeper into a particular vocation or a study. And the more you study, you're like, the more I don't know shit. I realize I don't know shit. So the more you know, the more you know that you don't know shit. That seems to be kind of across the board, no matter what you are really learning. And of course, you are learning things, but you are learning that there is so much more that we cannot know that is in mystery. And we have our limitations with just the five senses and with our waking consciousness. And there's so much, much beyond the veil and that we have to honor. So with this, I feel it's super juicy because it's like the sun is bringing in light, like shining a light around what has been kept away from your waking consciousness. Especially when it has to do with something really old, like through your ancestry, spiritual gifts that you have through your ancestry or your spiritual lineage. So I'm experiencing that for myself as I've been sharing sort of this lineage and dedication to the Divine Mother and Goddess and how that has been showing up in my own ancestry as I'm becoming more and more connected and aware of it. We have Venus and Saturn in Pisces that are pretty close together. And this feels like a reality check on relationships and not necessarily romantic relationships, but all kinds of relationships. This could be business partners, friends, coworkers. And so this is kind of like really bringing an objective eye and a reality check to these relationships. And take a look at where Venus and Saturn in Pisces is falling in your chart. This can really be good for fine-tuning your long-term relationships, restructuring your relationships in a way that is supportive for you, of course, but like maybe for all. And then also with Venus, taking a look at resources, restructuring of resources or even finances. We have and continue to have the North Node in Aries. So this is very much connected to the need for our courage and strength and being in the moment in our pathway forward on this trajectory. So again, that strong sense of I am in connection with Aries. What's interesting is we have Mercury and Chiron in Aries along with the North Node too. And so I mentioned this in the previous episode, healing of wounds and victim consciousness. And here we may experience some self-doubt creeping in, which is very, very normal because there's this kind of woundedness around the ego, woundedness around the I am, right? So when we have Chiron and Aries, there's something around like, who am I to be who I am, right? And there's an old wounding here. So it's important to be with that. To be with that and to open up for healing and correction in terms of our understanding through the mind around our I am-ness. And we also have to recognize the source of sickness or any kind of imbalance in our lives. I think this is an opportunity to really shine a light on that as well and to course correct. So with Mercury, rewriting a story. And that's one of the things that has been sort of a through line in my own work when I first got into healing work. And for those of you who don't know my story, I started off as a health coach. And it was really because of my mom's healing journey with breast cancer and then my own healing journey with a whole bunch of stuff through that process and my spiritual awakening through that process. It was about rewriting a story. And at the time, this was probably was around like 2007, 2008, I wasn't fully aware of just how deep that actually goes. You know, even when we're looking at the level of epigenetics, which is all about, you know, we have the power to rewrite our story. And it really depends on the context and the ecology that we're living in. But even at a spiritual level, at an ancestral level, the healing that we can do by rewriting our stories through our subconscious, through our Akashic records, through our spiritual journey, not just with what we're eating and the habits that we do, although those are also very important. It's the subconscious script that is, I think, really key here with Mercury in Chiron in Aries with this North Node. The thing to watch out for is that Mercury in Aries can be impulsive and a little fiery, like a little fiery tongue. So just pause. Take the sacred pause before you share that fiery note or Instagram post or email or text, right? Just take the sacred pause and really attune and see if it's what you really want to say. There's nothing wrong with being fiery, but it just, there seems to be sometimes an impulsivity with Mercury in Aries. Another thing that I'm actually excited about Mercury in Aries when this comes around is that it can kind of help cut through bullshit. It's sort of like, we just can see through things. Things get clearer. We could be more decisive. I tend to have a challenge with being decisive. I've been working on that for a lifetime. But Mercury in Aries, I definitely have been feeling a little bit more decisive, especially on the little things where you can get decision fatigue. This energy really helps with that. And also understanding where you need to hone in your focus. Where do you need to focus on and get to the core? Get to the core of things. Get to the truth of the matter. And also to give it straight. Assertive communication, as I was talking about. So sort of like this theme of truth, truth telling, uncovering, and then also really focus on priorities and communications that actually matter. And then we have Jupiter, the planet of expansion, among other things, conjunct Uranus and in Taurus. So this feels very much sort of like a jump in consciousness. So sort of along this theme that I've been talking about with healing an old wound, especially connected with a spiritual lineage or your ancestry, and rewriting of your story and the importance of the subconscious and unconscious within that. And then here, Jupiter conjunct Uranus and Taurus really feeling like that jump in consciousness and also the material expression of that, how it shows up here on Earth with Taurus. So just something to kind of open yourself up to and be ready for some really big change. The equinox is a day of powerful beginnings. And so where does this fall in your chart? 0 degrees of Aries. And take consideration on all the things that I mentioned and how it might be playing a role in your life. I was called to pull a card from one of my favorite decks, the Herbal Astrology Oracle deck from Anima Mundi by Adriana Ayales. And we got card number 33, Arnica. What I love about this is that, well, Arnica is so connected to solar forces and connection with the sun. It blooms in the summertime and during solstice. But here we're feeling that same solar logos, right? That energy and spiritual sustenance from the sun come through with Arnica as we enter the Aries season and spring equinox, where the sun is beginning to shine longer than the dark nights. In the Herbal Astrology deck, Adriana talks about Arnica as a teacher and ruled by Saturn, the planet Saturn, and Saturn absolutely a teacher archetype, and its connection with commitment and perseverance and stability and community and forging your unique path. It's been a remedy that has been utilized as a pain-relieving medicine for many, many, many years and throughout the world, really, especially in Europe and North America. It's most often used topically. When you take it in internally, it has been shown to cause some severe liver damage and internal bleeding. And so topical application and use as a homeopathic remedy and even flower essence has been popularized and really used effectively in assisting tissue regeneration and helping to stimulate blood flow and relieving pain and swelling and healing bruises and hematomas. You may have utilized arnica after a bad bruising or wounding or even surgery. It's really a wonderful ally when you go into surgery for any reason and the healing afterward. And I would also say preparation beforehand. Magically, it's been used to protect from evil spirits. It's been used in the fields, being planted to protect a particular area of the land and of the people. And it's been associated with wolf medicine. Its connection to leadership and community and instinct, and how to be a perennial student that also takes on the teaching role so that we can help assist others as we accumulate greater knowledge. You'll find it off the beaten path in its own unique patterns of growth. And so in this way, its connection to forging your own path while also being within community. So being an individual, a unique individual within community. And I feel like that's really, oh gosh, the direction that we've been going in, kind of a theme with the Aquarian age, right? Is that individualistic, like bringing all of yourself and your gifts, but then plugging into that greater collective, that weaving, so that we can all uplift one another and work together. Richard Katz writes about arnica as a flower essence and how it brings the warmth of light of our spiritual presence to revivify traumatized regions of body and psyche. And I feel like this is a big reason why arnica is showing up for us right now, aside from obviously its connection to Saturn and the Saturnian themes that I talked about earlier. But there's something here that's around the integrity of our spiritual self, our solar self, who we are as a soul and our essence. Arnica is said to be the wake-up call of the spirit father. So that Saturnian energy, very often connected with the divine father and solar energy in that same way, to come back to earth. So that wake-up call of the spirit father to come back to earth and re-own the traumatized body soul. So here, arnica, especially as an essence, can bring more awareness to past psychological traumas, to ancestral traumas that we carry within, and even dealing with death and illness and fear of death and illness. Emotional scarring, all of these things that I'm tapping into, especially with Chiron, right? When we're looking at these woundings that are coming up to be healed and moving past, gosh, the past few years that have been so traumatizing for so many people and continue to be so, and now moving into another eclipse season, I feel that arnica can be an incredible ally to support our healing of the wounds, of the bruises on all levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, and absolutely spiritually. Arnica flower essence can be a key ingredient for integrating and processing and reintegrating after disorienting effects of traumatic events. So in this way, arnica is raising their hand and saying, hey babe, I'm here for you. I'm here to tend to your wounds, but also to awaken that solar force within you and the teacher within you so that we can move forth together in community and heal together and make some real change. As I mentioned before, I have been receiving the message and directive to open up and receive more Akashic record channelings for the collective. And so the way that we'll be doing this, because part of this is also to not just send it out into the ethers, but to connect us, to weave us into a community where we can receive these together and process them, and really to support one another in our awakening and our initiations and our journeys through our own healing path, but also as healers in our service work, how we can show up to support others. And it's been my experience that healers, practitioners, those that are really here to help assist others in their healing journey are sometimes the ones that need the most healing because you give so much of yourself away without filling up your own cup. So my intention with this is to build a community where we help assist each other in filling up our own cup. It's healer, heal thyself vibes. And also just to plug into a community that is just as cosmic and expansive and witchy and divine as you are, speaks your language and will expand your mind and heart. So what this looks like is I will be providing exclusive channelings, extra channelings each month, as well as the ability to participate in conversation with each channeling, access to these private channelings, and options to receive your own bespoke, personalized Akashic Soul Nourishment channeling per month. I also plan on weaving in live calls, and these can be live Q&As, live teachings, masterclasses, rituals together. And I'm also allowing myself to be guided, to be in flow, and to be guided by spirit, by my highest self, and by you and your highest selves in this collective. So this is going to be an experiment and also really organic because it's co-creative. You are creating this with me. So I would love to have you raise your proverbial hand by signing up for a wait list. And this will tell me, yes, you actually want this to happen. You'll participate in it. There will be a free option as well as an upgraded paid option where you'll get access to more exclusive channelings and calls and the like. So there's something for everyone. If this is something that you would like to participate in or be a part of and build a community together, please let me know by signing up for the waitlist. You could go to wildlyrooted.com/community to sign up and let me know. I, of course, will then be connected with you and keep you posted on the birth of this community and this collective experiment of co-creation. wildlyrooted.com/community to learn more. I can't wait to connect with you more deeply and engage in a way that has more texture and that I can hear your voice. And with that, I would love to end with our special Equinox Akashic Soul Nourishment reading for you. And I would love to hear how all of this lands, especially the reading, and to spark a conversation around this. So here we go with our Spring Equinox Akashic Soul Nourishment reading of 2024. Notes up and down the scale, scaling to new highs and new lows. The sinusoidal dance, the waves that inform all of life. You'll find that you feel it more viscerally in the tissues, the sinewy depths of your innards, all the way to your core and back for more. This rooting down to rise up is part of the toroidal experience. Fractals of fractals, as above, so below. Behold, the truth of the cosmos that is woven within the fabric of your very being. Your core essence holds the keys to the universe, the lines upon which the notes dance, sometimes sharp, sometimes flat, a scat or a chant, a bellowing call, bass, tenor, baritone, your back home, the tonic note. The familiar resonance, your resonance, imparting a particular tone to your experience. This is how you filter life, and life filters you. the so-called wins and losses, that color in between the lines, are simply reflections and refractions of the light you're letting in and shining out. Holy body, thank moon for your becoming and her spiralic dance, her peekaboo show, the ritual performance that anchors us to each moment, fleeting or not, a shimmer upon the canvas we call life. Heads or tails, it's always both, you see, chasing one another, spinning with force, the two are one and yet make three. How can this be? Divine order, geometry, all of thee, above and below, within and without, with each breath the answer passes through you. Can you pause long enough to recognize, to behold for just a moment and eternally the gift that is between each note, accessible through neutrality, and yet has the capacity to bring you to your knees and cry out with joy, mercy, mercy, mercy. The daybreak is here, washing away debris from the night before. It's no chore. It's so much more. A glimmer, a crack, a beginning. The task at hand, at least for now, is to clean your ecology. Your house on all levels, inside and out. Yes, spring cleaning, no doubt, sweeping the halls of your records, wiping the windows of your mind's eye, clearing the channels of receiving, smoking out the hungry ghosts, and releasing artifacts that are better archived and held elsewhere. Scrubbing your mind and feeding your soul, a new day has come. Face the light of the sun. Take a deep breath. And ask, sun within me, shine a light on what I must see. Illuminate the path and steps I need to take. I'm fully awake and ready for what awaits. And that was our Akashic Soul Nourishment reading for this spring equinox 2024. I would love to hear how this lands and what this sparks within you. And I, of course, would love to go into deeper conversation with you on this episode and every episode. And if that is something that you desire to, as well as to connect with other like-hearted, like-minded, intuitive folks and healers, helpers, practitioners, those that are here in service to our collective healing, then I encourage you to raise your hand by signing up for the waitlist. Telling me by doing this, you're telling me you want this community. Go to wildlyrooted.com/community to learn more and say yes. I hope you are spending this spring equinox and this season of rebirth celebrating life. I know that I will be in a very deep, deep way, obviously, over the next couple of weeks in actual practice of honoring the life of my grandmothers, but every day. And one thing that my abuela pura was such an advocate for was having fun and dancing. And she and her family and my abuelo, my grandfather, used to do parrandas. And parrandas are a tradition in Puerto Rico. It might be in other places too, but I know in Puerto Rico, it's a music tradition that takes place during the Christmas holiday season. And parrandas are these events that are very social, and there's a lot of music and food and drinks, and you jump house to house. And it's really about connecting with your community, your loved ones, and having a freaking party. So I know that that's something that I'm going to devote myself to, is how can I bring that joyful spirit of parranda to my everyday life? And what I have been doing this week is tuning into some of my favorite feel-good music. And the one that I've really been loving lately that I'd love to share with you is Bill Withers' Lovely Day. A lovely day, lovely day, lovely day, lovely day. I love it. I wish I could insert the actual audio, but of course, copyright law, and I don't want to get sued and all the things, infringement of copyright law, but you get the picture. So go on your Spotify, go on YouTube, plug into that song. I'll put a link in the show notes of the YouTube below if you want to join in on the parranda with me, with Bill Withers, and celebrate this lovely day. I'm sending you so much love and equinox blessings, and I cannot wait to meet you and connect with you in our community that we'll be co-creating together if you say yes. So let me know over at wildlyrooted.com/community. And until then, I'll see you in our next episode. Be well.